Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Shea Adam is down in the pit lane and watching the guys getting ready, the teams getting ready for this warm-up session, which is about 3 or 4 minutes away. Good morning to everybody trackside. Hope you are well wrapped up. Doesn't have to put her fire suit on for this session, but you have, Shea, because it's so chilly.
Yeah, well, I put my fire suit on also so that I can go over the wall and look at any cars that have any potential damage to come back in, because it is so cold out. Trying to get these Michelin tires switched on for morning warm-up will be a big ask. But I'm all the way down P1 at the pit boxes because Ryan Eversley, Rick Ware Racing, the only Acura in the field as far as GTD is concerned. You and Aiden Reed have been sharing this car for Long Beach and now here. I say sharing. Hasn't really been a fair share this weekend, though. You've got 5 laps around the place this weekend.
Yeah, it's been pretty fun to get these like short spurts of driving the car because the car's been really good. But Aiden is experienced in GT cars. He's driven all over the world, in fact, but he hasn't done a lot of the North American circuits and almost specifically none of the tracks we're going to for Sprint Cup. So he drove with Turner last year and all the endurance tracks. So we're going to be doing a lot of he's going to be doing a lot of ball hogging, you know. But that's okay. It's kind of the deal. As a finishing pro in IMSA in any class, you generally sacrifice a lot of drive time so your teammates can get up to speed. And with Aiden being pretty fast, it's just more about him getting comfortable with the track so he can have a good first stint in the race.
What's it been like working with these Rick Ware Racing guys?
Well, they've been so nice to me. They let me do that NASCAR start last year, which I'm never going to not say thank you for because it was such a great opportunity. But having a real sponsor like Nurtec, who's putting a lot of money into the sport in 3 different series this weekend. They're racing at Barber in IndyCar with Sato and over in Dover with the with Cody Ware in the 51 over there. So it's pretty cool to get to work with a program that's so broad and open-minded like that. But also Rick's here this weekend showing that this is really important to him. He's got 2 other race cars out there in 2 different parts of the country, and he's here in Monterey slumming it with us in IMSA. So it's pretty cool to have someone be that supportive.
You've got an amazing silver in the car in terms of Aiden. He is truly an engineer, though. What's it like sharing a car with somebody with that kind of a brain?
Oh, it's terrible. no, he's too smart for me. So a lot of the times, he and our engineer Marcos will be kind of going over things, and I'm kind of dumbing it down for him to bring him back to reality a little bit. But having driven this car now since I think 2016 technically with development, I know what it likes, and it's easy to get out of the box with these things. So we've been trying to pretty much keep it simple, stupid, which is a motto I live by. So I think we're doing okay.
Thanks, Ryan. Good luck today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
Shea, news coming in overnight of some penalties that will affect the way the cars line up today in in the support series. We'll leave that until we get into the Porsche. We won't know about any penalties, is the point I was going to make, until after this session, and whether anybody wants to change drivers and or tyres, etc., for the main race.
Well, we've already got one that's been declared. That is the number 12 Lexus. Frankie Montecalvo will be moving to the back of the grid, unless anybody has a problem during this morning warm-up, as you very rightly say. But they have elected to change their starting tires, so the Lexus will be at the back of the grid now.
Well, we've got the cars down there. We're about a minute away from a green flag. That number 12 Sailmaster Lexus sits on the pit lane. It's the black and bright yellow, almost the bumblebee coloured car. Very easy to spot that one. The 12 is the GTD car with the green number backgrounds. It's team car. The 14 is the Pro-Am. That's the new category for this year in GT Daytona, with factory entered cars or supported cars and full pro driver lineups. And that's been a big success. 5 of them here. Corvette, Porsche, Vassar Sullivan with the Lexus, Heart of Racing, Aston Martin, and the BMW number 25. Let's head back to Shea, who's just walking down the pit lane. We do have some people in the outside lane, in the acceleration lane, ready to go straight away, Shea.
They're all prototypes, though, at this point. The number 31 Whelan Engineering Cadillac, first one in line. Then I saw the 01, I think it was, the Cadillac Racing entry. Dragon Speed are in the fast lane with Juan Pablo Montoya, who announced his presence very loudly while coming onto the pit lane this morning. And the 18 Era Motorsports LMP2's green flag is out, and now all cars are allowed to leave. Couple of big misses that we've got this morning. GMG with their Porsche are not out on the pit lane. Neither is NTE SSR with their Lamborghini. Jaden Conrad qualifying second, sharing the car this weekend with Marco Holzer. Really wanted to try and grab a chat with them, but they are not on the pits so far this morning. So I'm just going to keep walking and see who I can find. But so far, a lot of empty pit boxes towards pit end. And Turner, actually, only one crew member up on their box. So I'm not entirely sure if we're going to see the beautiful BMW.
Shea Adam down in the pit lane. John Hindhoff in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. And if you are just joining us on RS2 at IMSA Radio, good to have you company wherever you are in the world. It's a big day. A couple of races before the main event. Our Michelin Countdown to Green to come as well. We'll share on the grid with the pole sitters. Jeremy Shaw with the full rundown of the IMSA WeatherTech lineup before we go racing later on this afternoon. This is a 20-minute session, and we are about a minute and a half into it. The old adage is nothing good ever happens in warm-up. Or as Dan Binks always used to say, the legendary crew chief for Pratt & Miller and Corvette Racing, we don't need any practice on how to fix things. Let's hope that everything goes well for everybody out there. It is Sebastian Bourdais who has taken out the 01 Cadillac for Chip Ganassi. He goes down the front straight now, the slightly curving front straight, just getting up to pace, 150 miles an hour as he went across the start-finish line, and that's not the fastest part of that straight. Got a pretty empty track in front of him at the moment in the 01 as he heads to turn three. It's behind him, the number 18. It's Daniel Morad for Allegra Motorsports in the GT Daytona, the AMG GT3. Mercedes. Bourdais coming off a fantastic performance from him at Long Beach. Made a mistake actually, he ended up in the wall and then came that precipitated, just an extraordinary set of driving where he carved his way back through to the front of the field. It was one of the drives that I think when you look back on, you'll be pleased to be able to say that you witnessed it. It was absolutely superb. Times in qualifying got into the 13s. New qualifying record for the DPIs yesterday. Jeremy will take you through all of that in our Michelin Countdown to Green later on. If you'd like to get in touch with us, at IMSA Radio is where you'll find us. A little bit of overcast this morning. 50 degrees Fahrenheit is, well, it's crept up to double digits in the centigrade scale for those of you listening in Europe late afternoon on a Sunday afternoon. Our racing, of course, with Pacific summertime going into the early hours of Monday morning, but in the UK at least, I'm not sure about the rest of Europe, but I'd completely forgotten that Monday is a holiday, the early May bank holiday, International Workers' Day it's sometimes called, or May Day bank holiday. So go down to Shea Adam down in the pit lane, who has Stephen Simpson for us.
Stephen, it's a bit of a different day for you, not driving a race car in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, not even calling strategy, which is normally where I see you, but indeed watching out for Josh Pearson in the 52 PR1 Matheson Motorsport LMP2. First off, what did you learn yesterday in the Pilot Challenge race that's going to help Josh today for WeatherTech?
Quite a few things, actually. One of which is tire degradation around here is bad, but we all know that. But it's a good reminder. So it's going to be an interesting day for Josh because obviously he's going to finish the race. and it's going to be a new kind of pressure on him. But he's going to do great today. We've been working with Josh for a year and a half now. We've got a great relationship, and even though I'm not in the car myself, I really enjoy being able to pass on all my knowledge to him. So it's busy. We're going to straight after today's race, we head off to Spa for Josh's WEC race this coming weekend. So it's a busy year for us, but enjoyable.
And then back from Mid-Ohio, of course, the week after. How much of an advantage is it as a driver coach, like you are, and a manager, to be able to be in the car the day before and then get that extra intel?
I think it's definitely an advantage. You know, at all the tracks we go to, I'm going to be racing on the Saturday, and Josh will be racing the next day. So there's definitely information that I'll learn that I can pass on to him. But it's just so fun being able to work with somebody young, but also really good, really talented like Josh. And just things like getting through traffic and sports car racing is such a big deal. And that's one of the many things. So, yeah, it's great being able to help him and see him grow and do so well at such a young age.
Yeah, he's already had quite a bit of success so far this year. Were you guys expecting that early on?
I shouldn't say we were expecting it, but I saw the potential in him a long time ago. So I think that, to be honest, I expected big things, but I don't think I expected him to be leading the World Endurance Championship and having won a race there and the two Asian Le Mans Series races as well. So he's definitely exceeding expectations. We just need to keep that learning and developing going. And he needs to get his first IMSA win now. That's the next thing to take off the list.
Yeah, we've got to get that done today. Stephen, he's about to get in the car, so I'll let you concentrate. Thanks for the chat.
Thank you. Thanks for chatting.
It's been, Shea, an extraordinary early career for young Josh Pearson. Breaking records all the way through because of his young age. And really important to have someone with the experience level of Stephen Simpson in his corner, if you will, to be able to guide him through.
Oh, that's the most valuable part of it. And like Stephen was saying, he's racing every Saturday before Josh is in the car on Sunday for the entirety of the year. So it really is an extra advantage that he's not in the car on Saturday in a different car trying to hit different brake points and whatnot. But he still gets that person in his ear to say, hey, watch out for this. You've never raced here before. You need to be aware of this. I experienced it yesterday. Watch my onboard. There's so much extra intel that Stephen can bring to Josh, and it's only going to help him advance even quicker.
Adam down in the pit lane. John Hindhoff in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Just coming down to halfway through this 20 minutes. We've had about half of the cars already turned a lap, and about another quarter or so just going out onto the pits now. So I reckon we'll have about 75% of the field will have turned a lap this morning by the end. Maybe a little less than that, maybe two-thirds. At the moment, Sebastian Bourdais, for what it's worth, has the fastest lap, a 117.223. Much slower than we saw the cars going in qualifying yesterday. That will not surprise you. And in fact, it's Juan Montoya who's in second in an LMP2 car, the Dragon Speed, number 82, with a 117.226. Third for Richard Westbrook, that's another DPI. And of course, as I say that, they're all bumped down one as Earl Bamber puts in a 15.5. Now that is a little more representative, I think, of what we'll see in the race coming up later on this afternoon. So 15.5 now, the best time for DPI for Cadillac number 02, the Chip Ganassi run car. Montoya in LMP2 for Dragon Speed, the 81 car. That's the white car with the blue stripe and stars on it. Always reminds me of Evel Knievel's leathers when I see that car. Elton Julian's team. Been around for a long time now and have been very successful in pretty much everything and every series in which they have raced. Any other classes for you with a VP in session, VP Racing Fuel in session update. Cooper McNeil is quickest of the GTD Pros. I think is he the only car that's been out for the moment? No, he's not actually. The Corvette's been out as well. So Cooper McNeil just heading out actually on his out lap, so he hasn't put a lap in quite yet. John Edwards has done a lap for BMW in the 25 at a 1 minute 25. Jordan Taylor's done a 1 minute 26. Big lock up down at the Andretti hairpin for Richard Westbrook in the dark grey and gold Mustang sampling JDC. DPI running in second in that category at the moment. Actually, he's not. He's running down in fourth. It's Bamba Bourdais Albuquerque now for Conington Minolta. So that's two Cadillacs and an Acura. Acura locked out the front row yesterday. They've always been very good round here through the fast sweeping corners. But it three pulls and three wins for Acura in the last 3 years. And Shea Adam, it would seem from the qualifying at least that they've got themselves pretty well dialed in again here, the two Acura teams, Conington Minolta and Meyershank Racing. Buds, oh, I'll come back in a moment because we've got the hard point number 99 off the circuit at the moment. That's Catherine Legg, who has got the car almost pointing back in the right direction, but not quite. She's looking for reverse gear, flicking down through the paddles. It's coming out of the Andretti hairpin and in towards turn three. She finds reverse gear. It's not the question that you often ask as a racing driver. Oh, by the way, how do I get it into reverse? But Catherine obviously had done, because she knew the sequence of paddle pushes and pulls and interlock buttons to press on the Porsche, pointing in the right direction. Shea, I'll just go back to the point I was making. Turning the laps here this weekend in qualifying is one thing, getting a race pace sorted out is something else. And if this is race pace for the Cadillacs, a 15.5 and a 16.3 for the two Chip Ganassi cars, that's going to be very competitive indeed.
Yeah, and that was a little bit of what Ricky Taylor was scared of yesterday. I mean, you could see in his eyes a little bit of fear, couldn't you, John, when I was doing the poll interview and he was talking about how much closer the Cadillacs were than they expected them to be. That's exactly what Acura is worried about, because this track and Mid-Ohio are two of the strongest ones on the calendar for Acura. They really need to extend any sort of championship grasp that they can. And if the Cadillacs are right there in qualifying, and they're going to be right there in race pace, well, it's going to be hard to catch the 0-2 in points, which is our championship lead for Alex Lynn and Earl Bamber. Alex doing the qualifying duties, Earl being the closer. Those are two very strong prototype drivers.
Yeah, I've been impressed with that lineup, and Alex is really warming to his task here. Very experienced and very fast driver in anything that you bolt him into, and you could say exactly the same about Earl Bamber as well. On Midweek Motorsport over on RS1 on Wednesday, we were taking a look at the Valkyrie stat attack for this circuit from previous years, and the action areas that we looked at in terms of where the passes are made. That was quite interesting, I thought.
Yeah, interesting how it's not really spread out either, because Sector 1 does get the majority of the passes, but Sectors 2 and 3 were very close to it, and they were very evenly split as well. So Sector 1 will be where we see most of the hard work taking place, that is going into Turn 2, 3, and then through 4 at the exit of 4. But it's kind of hard to distinguish where around the track you will be seeing more of anything. I'm just going to doorstep Ryan DL here. Good morning, Ryan. LMP2, ultra competitive here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. What's the secret to coming home with the win?
With the combined stars, probably making it through turn one without having a GT Pro car run into the back of us. That'll be probably the most interesting thing since they've not changed that rule. I mean, it obviously looks good on TV. So hopefully we all make it through and unscathed. And then now they've extended the P2 bronze drivers drive time to 1 hour. So I think that's going to change a lot as far as strategy goes. So obviously you got to try and stay on the lead lap for that first hour, make no mistakes, and then see what we got at the end.
Yeah, it means that you're either going to have to bring him in at 40 minutes or perhaps do a shorter fuel, maybe give him a 20-minute stint, send him out on new tires. But it's a colder day. It's going to be difficult to get heat into the Michelins for any gentleman driver, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it should warm up a little bit, at least by lunchtime. But it's definitely difficult for them. I mean, two pace ups, we should be able to get some temperature. And then we can, you know, make the gamble on what to do with tires on their first stop. Might be some strategy there as well. So it's going to be tough for these guys. Not the easiest track, probably, to do it for the first time, the one-hour drive time. But we feel confident what we got, and we'll see what we get later.
Does it help at all, bringing Dwight back to a circuit where he's raced before, and you guys had a fairly good run last year?
Yeah, you know, it was a last-minute decision for us to come here last year, and we had a good race, so we were a lot more prepared this year now we're doing full season. It's just not an easy track for a gentleman driver. It's very low grip. It's high commitment. Cool conditions. So so far this weekend, we're having no mistakes. So that's box number one checked. And we're getting better every session. So a couple of guys in the front, you know, Steve Thomas and Patrick Kelly are kind of leagues above everybody else as far as bronzes go. So we got to hope we can stay with them and then battle them at the end.
Yeah, you got a good gold to put in at the end. Good luck, Ryan.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ryan DL talking to Shea Adam. Little whoopsie at the top of the hill for the high-class racing. And it's Fjord back this time, not Dennis Anderson, who's had a few problems in the early part of the week so far. Just went straight on, took the, I suppose you'd call it the Zanardi line, down the corkscrew. But no harm, no foul. He continues sitting in second at the moment of the LMP2s. Just a quick note, by the way, that the 15.5 set by this morning already in the cold by Earl Bamber, sorry, almost put Renger into that car, that's his teammate. That's already quicker, even in these cold temperatures of warm-up. That's quicker than the race lap record that was set last year, a 1:15.6 that was. Loic Duval set that. So we're about a tenth quicker. Almost exactly a tenth quicker than the race lap record. That's what I was talking about early on when I was saying how competitive that race pace is. As the 39 Lamborghini is being pushed behind the wall, I'll see if we can get a bead on that whilst we go down to Porsche and to Jan Heerlen with Shea.
Jan, last year it was a win here in a Porsche in the Michelin Pilot Challenge Series. Well, yesterday the team replicated the win in Michelin Pilot Challenge. So extra pressure on you and Ryan Hardwick to try and get it done today, right?
Yeah, that's the kind of pressure we like. But now we've got a really good car. This typically, you know, is a good Porsche track, but the car feels probably as good as it felt all year. So really looking forward to the race this afternoon. We'll be coming through the field, but I think we have the car to do it.
It's going to be a difficult start. I was just talking with an LMP2 driver about how it's going to be all condensed. Being at the back of the pack today isn't the worst thing, though, is it?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting going into turn one. Hopefully, being a little further back will give us a better view of what goes on into turn one. I think one of the challenges today is going to be the cold tires, honestly. I've seen a lot of the DP and LMP2 cars coming out of pit lane on cold tires, and they seem to be struggling. So I think we'll see a lot of action once that first round of pit stops comes.
Is there going to be a cake for you today?
I don't know. I don't promote it that much.
Well, happy birthday, Jan.
Thank you.
It's Jan's birthday today, so hopefully there's a little bit of cake to go with the champagne later on.
I suspect that he really doesn't care how many candles on it, so long as there's a big one somewhere in his future. Just down to the last minute or so, Alex Lynn has gone out to do a couple of laps in the Cadillac number 02. As I said, 1:15.5, a little quicker than the race lap record. Philippe Albuquerque coming to the line now for Conica Minolta. And goes through, doesn't improve on the 15.931, but that's nice and tight. Got a 15.5, a 15.9, and a 16.1 from the first three. Then the second of the Acuras, the pink and white car, 16.4, 17 flat for Durrani. That Whelan car, not been on form this weekend, I have to say, very unusually. It's Dragon Speed who lead LMP2 from High Class Racing, number 20. Then Dwight Merriman, number 18, in the blue car, who just a moment or two ago took the nose off the number three Corvette, which is out there at the moment. That was an outlap for Louis Delitre. That was an outlap for Jordan Taylor there. 5 seconds to go. Time for another interview. Shea Adam.
With Roman De Angelis. Roman, it was such a good performance in qualifying yesterday, but you're saying you're not all that happy with it. You think there's more speed in the Aston Martin. I guess that's good news for the race then.
Yeah, I made a few little mistakes. Half a tenth would have put us, second. So obviously when there's margins like that, you always want to do better. But yeah, I think starting fourth is a good place for us. It's the best we've started all year. We've had an unlucky start, so we really hope that we can turn it around from starting fourth today. So we'll see what happens.
Maxime Martin, who's driving with you for all these sprint races, he's in the other car, the GTD Pro car, for the endurance races. What's it been like having him come back to you and making it even more of a family feel?
Yeah, I mean, wherever car they're in, we're always pretty much teammates. We're doing all our debriefs together, dinners, everything. So, I already saw him as a teammate, and it's great to have somebody to learn from like that. I mean, he has so much experience, such a great guy, obviously an amazing driver. So, good to learn from him, and I think we're going to have some good results moving forward. So,
well, good luck today. I'll come find you after your stint.
Thank you.
Checkered flag is out. Give you a rundown of some of the leading times in GT Daytona. Ryan Hardwick and Wright Motorsport, the number 16 car, is best of all of the GT3 cars with a 1:24.6 ahead of Daniel Junkadella, who's been mighty this weekend in the number 79 WeatherTech Racing car. And backed up very well indeed by Cooper McNeil. 1:24.7 for them. Then it's GTD's Bill Oberlin for Turner in the 96, Frank Montecalvo for Vassar Sullivan in the 12, and Madison Snow in the Paul Miller Racing. The rest of the GTD Pro cars that went out. And by the way, Pfaff Motorsports and Matt Campbell didn't go out, the number 9 car. So the other GTD Pros is the 14 Vassar Sullivan on a 25.6. 25.6 for Conor DeFilippi for BMW, and Ross Gunn for Heart of Racing. Jordan Taylor for Corvette, 1:25.6. In LMP2, we mentioned Dragon Speed at the top. It was PR1 Matheson, J-Bomb, Jonathan Bomarito in the car at the end there in the 11 in second, and High Class up to third in the number 20. And top of the shop for DPI, the 0-2 Cadillac run by Chip Ganassi Racing from the Konica Minolta Acura. That's the Wayne Taylor Racing number 10 car. Then the second of the Chip Ganassi Racing Cadillacs, the 0-1 from Renger van der Zander, Tom Blomqvist there as well. And two or three tenths between all of those. Pete Durrani did improve at the end, got a little bit closer in the 31 Whelen Engineering car, and making up the top six, JDC Miller. That's the Mustang sampling car. I didn't see, Shea Adam, before we sign off, I didn't see any problems there. I reckon we had 20... I think we had 26 cars out of the 32 we were expecting to see, and I didn't see anybody with major problems, although the 39 was pushed behind the wall quite early, the Jeff Westfall car. It was on pit lane, but it didn't turn any laps.
That was not a problem. They were practicing pit stops and driver changes, which is why I couldn't get a word with Rob McGuinness or Jeff Westfall, because both drivers were helmeted for basically the entirety of the session. So that was not a problem. I just came down to Corvette. They are doing their driver change practice now. Garcia getting out and Taylor getting in, although it should be opposite for the race because Taylor qualified the car. So that's a little bit interesting. But the other thing that I was going to tell you is we did have one problem. There was another flying lug nut. This time it was a Lexus, and it did not go into anyone's radiator. But that's very strange. Two events in a row, and this time it was almost Rick Dole who got hit by it.
Oh, Rick still got all his faculties and his reflexes. I'd be surprised if he didn't catch it in his teeth and drop it into one of his many copious pockets in his photographer's vest. Well, stay safe, everybody on the pit lane. Shea, thank you very much indeed. Shea Adam down in the pit lane for us in this morning warm-up session for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. I'm John Hindhoff from the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Don't go too far away. We'll hand you back to our colleagues in the PA booth here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, and we'll be back in time for the Porsche Race 2, which comes up next. That's the next action on track, and we'll have it live and free in sound and vision on IMSA Radio and IMSA TV. Bye for now.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.